On this episode of Tax Justice Warriors, I am going through the basics more to focus on interviewing clients and the client intake process. Thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
On Tax Justice Warriors, I am continuing the topics that I will be discussing with the class I am teaching on tax procedure at Washburn University Law School. And in the first couple weeks, I will be having guest speakers or special guests with me. And this week, the focus is on interviewing clients. I'm going to have some people sitting in to do mock interviews with the class that I have typed up hypothetical situations for innocent spouse, for potentially filing a petition with tax court, but having issues in claiming dependence, and also issues with receiving IRS notices, dealing with collection issues like liens or levies, possibly collection due process, and wanting to potentially file a offer in compromise. So all of those issues in interviewing clients and finding out just what the issues are, talking through those issues and going through the client intake process. Now, since this is walking them through the steps of meeting clients for the first time, we are just really going to go through doing an introduction and some small talk with the clients and then finding out what the issues are. They're not going to be doing any client counseling or really moving beyond that because I have not instructed them on how to deal with those different tax issues. I just want to get them a feel for meeting with clients and learning a bit about talking through tax topics with them, digging into their tax issues at this point. Now, from the textbook that reading that I have assigned to them, they broke down interviewing clients into 7 stages. The first is introductions and small talk. The second being routine collection of basic client information. So this would be finding out contact information and some basic information to fill out forms, potentially information to find out a little bit about what their problems are. But then the third stage is information gathering phase where the client tells the story. So this is certainly the point where you are letting the client speak, letting them talk as much as they need to and time allows to find out just what the problem is, where they are in dealing with the IRS or whatever kind of legal issue that they are working with, and gathering information what you can from the client. The fourth stage is the goal identification stage. So certainly, like I mentioned, clients needing collection alternatives. So certainly that would be finding out what is happening with, say, the IRS, finding out what can be done to halt collection actions, getting them into a better place where they can either be making payments or if they should be in currently not collectible status, that could put a halt to collection actions, then looking whether something like offer and compromise would be in their interests. So finding out from the client just what goals they have in dealing with their tax problem. The fifth stage is the informative stage where the attorney conveys the relevant tax law and procedure. So certainly describing to the client just where they are in the process, letting them know what is happening. So, for example, telling them what stage they are in with collections in the IRS and describing what steps have happened, what would happen in the future. The sixth stage is discussion of strategy or possible courses of action. So letting them know which stages you would recommend on moving forward. And the seventh stage is a closing stage where the attorney and client agree on the next steps. So between the two of you agreeing on what steps you would have moving forward. Now, I must admit, working with low-income clients, and often as we do, working with clients who are ignorant of tax procedure, often they will say, just in general, they will agree with what is recommended. But it is certainly a good idea to get their buy-in, to get their interest in what stages you have moving forward. Now, next, I'm going to turn in the discussion to the types of clients that a person will often have. So since I am often working with low-income clients, that is a consideration to have, that there are often reasons why a client may be low-income, that they may be unemployed or impoverished. So certainly a lack of resources may be something to take into consideration. If the person has a learning disability or is uneducated to some degree, then that may need to take some extra time to explain things to the client. And certainly if they have a disability, that may take some extra steps on working with the client as well. That one thing that I have seen is brain injuries that impact low-income clients. One client I can think of had been an alcoholic, so that affected his brain and impacts his ability to function. There is another client that I can think of that certainly in the military may have had a brain injury. So overall, low-income clients, and then I was going to bring up diverse clients, certainly English as a second language clients. All of them will require some amount of patience working with them. It may take them extra time to gather their materials or to meet with you, gather their thoughts to talk with you. But as well with diverse clients, there may be some cultural issues. There may be a need for a translator. So these are certainly considerations to have when working with a client. Now, another issue is counseling a client through their different issues that you may need to take some time to walk with them through issues. Certainly, innocent spouse clients, that often deals with death or divorce of their spouse. If there was domestic violence involved in the marriage, then that takes some extra time to walk the person through the marriage and dealing with some difficult emotional issues. So that is another consideration to take into account as well. Now, one thing I learned when I was first doing legal clinics as a student in law school was that often the client will have an issue or several issues when you meet with them. And I know there were other students who felt emotionally attached to the client and wanted to help them solve all of their problems. And I learned early on that often these clients have a whole group of problems. There is only a certain amount I can focus on, particularly the tax issues. And if I am helping them out to some degree or fixing their problem, then that is doing my job. It is not my job to wave some kind of magic wand and fix all of their problems. Another issue that I wanted to bring up is that I learned in through the tax clinic that I volunteered at is that some of the most difficult people to work with are those who want to be in control. So they mentioned airline pilots, but certainly doctors or attorneys or other people who are in charge of things at work can be difficult to work with. So that's something to consider. But also, you may wind up working with tax protesters or whatever the term is in vogue for them at the time, but they have various arguments on why they are looking at the Constitution or other laws and saying that the government does not have rights over them or they are not obligated to pay taxes. That certainly in that situation, I would advise that you are not obligated to take on every client. That in my instance, how I run my clinic is that if they are not going to cooperate with the government at all, I am receiving IRS funding, that if I have a person who does not want to cooperate with the government, then I am not going to work with them at all. Certainly, if they're wanting to put forward tax protest arguments, then I am not going to continue to help them. Now, some people, if they are saying they do not want to spend another dime for the government or something like that, perhaps I might look at their transcripts, inform them of what is going on. Perhaps I might take the steps to get them into currently not collectible status. It is certainly up to you how far you would want to work with those clients, but part of it is looking at how cooperative they are, how much they are a pain to work with, and if it is not worth working with them, then I would say to drop them as a client or not even take their case at all. Now, if you are going to be taking their case, I'm certainly going to remind the students about using an agreement for representation, getting in writing what your agreement is that they are signing on to have you as an attorney or represent them in whatever capacity. And perhaps it is worth thinking about what kind of scope the case will be. For some people, you want to work on a specific scope that, for example, I am representing you with tax court, but not representing you further. I often have represented clients through the entire process. There was one client that he had a tax court case. I did an offer and compromise with the IRS for him. And then with the Kansas Department of Revenue, they called their settlement agreement a petition for abatement. I did that as well. So I think I was working with him about 2 years. And I wanted to provide a good amount of assistance for him. He was very cooperative, but there may be clients who you do not find cooperative and want to limit their case. Certainly when there are clients who I cannot get in contact with anymore, or I'm not sure what action we're taking anymore, then I will often contact them to close out their case. But always have that agreement for representation, whatever form that takes, have that spelled out. I'm not in private practice in these cases, so I am not charging them for any of the services because it is a low-income taxpayer clinic. But if you are in private practice, this is certainly a time when you would look at a retainer agreement or what kind of fees you are charging for services throughout the case. Now, also in the chapter, it did talk about negotiating styles, such as a competitive style that is adversarial or a cooperative style that is courteous and tactful. Now, I will admit that I employ more of a cooperative style, and I've certainly seen both when working with different departments at the IRS. Some of that I can understand the IRS taking an adversarial style, that I can agree with wanting to protect the resources of the government, wanting to have taxpayers follow procedures, not wanting to allow them to take advantage of the system in any way. But I've also heard that there are certain people who think there are taxpayers who are trying to scam this system and get away with as much as they can. But I have also heard from the former national taxpayer advocate, Nina Olson, how she takes the view that most taxpayers are wanting to comply with the system, wanting to comply with their payments and filing, that if they are able to make payments, they are willing to do so. And so that is the stance I take with my clients, that if they are able to get on a payment plan, I will help them set that up. Often I am dealing with people on fixed incomes or unemployed, so I am trying to get them into currently not collectible status. But certainly as a tip when working with the IRS, that to some degree that the phone system is pretty random in who a person is connected to. And in my thought, that if a person is just being too rude or uncooperative when working with the IRS, that there isn't a need to keep working with a person who isn't assigned to the case. So there are times that I quickly end the call with them. I don't know that I've necessarily hung up on them, but that is something that a person could do, ending the conversation quickly, to just end that conversation and wind up speaking to someone else at the IRS who is more cooperative, wants to resolve the case. Because overall, that is my stance, that let's get some of these cases off the books or move them on to their next stage in working with the IRS, that if we keep putting up barriers to resolving issues with the taxpayers, then that just costs the government more money, that means more time with the IRS working the cases, means more anxiety for taxpayers. So why don't we just resolve these one way or another and move on with the taxpayers rather than making them jump through more hoops? So overall, I hope this gives you some thoughts as I go back to basics in doing client intake, talking about goals in helping out clients, talking about negotiation tips with the IRS, that these are certainly items that have to be learned and you gain experience over time in working with clients. But when working in a customer service career like we have, you have to gain client interviewing skills and learn just how you want to deal with clients over time. So I hope this has been useful. Thank you for tuning in. Next week, I'm going to touch on some tax research tips and describe to you what we will be going over with the tax procedure class at Washburn. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic Program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.